Welcome to the Brand Thomas podcast. In today's podcast, I speak with Geza Schoen, the man behind Eccentric Molecules. Following the launch of three new fragrances, M Plus Iris, Patchouli and Mandarin, Geza tells me all about his lifelong fascination with fragrance and the moment he discovered the molecule Isoe Super, the ingredient which started one of the most successful fragrance lines in the world. I'm Louise Duffy and this is the Brand Thomas podcast. Geza, thank you so much for joining me on the Brand Thomas podcast. It's lovely to have you here today.
Sure. Welcome.
Tell me, okay, so I think your story in fragrance is really exciting because, you know, it's clear from a very young age there was a passion for fragrance. How did that begin, or was there a moment when you realized this was a future for you?
It probably all started when I was 13 and I started collecting samples. Back then, you were able to get hold of sort of fragrance samples by just sending out a postcard to the depots of where, you know, a fragrance would have been delivered to shops and stores and perfumery stores. And I came home from school every day and there was always like a packet of samples I had ordered. You know, I would just write a postcard to these companies and say, I'm really interested in your fragrances. Can you send me some samples? And they did. So within a short period of time, I had loads of fragrances at home. And back then in the early 80s, there weren't many fragrances around. So I pretty much had them all after a while. And that got me going. That really made me hone into the world of fragrances.
The best smelling 13-year-old in the gang. Like,
yeah, well, you know, of course, I didn't really share that with my mates because, you know, back then, if, you know, a boy would have revealed himself as somebody who's a fragrance lover, you know, you probably wouldn't have had an easy life afterwards. So yeah. I basically kept that to myself. I mean, I was playing football and tennis next to that, but I had this secret passion for fragrances and that's how it all began.
That's funny that it was something that you had to conceal. I think that has changed for young guys in
yeah,
everything,
for sure.
Thankfully, fashion and beauty and fragrance and otherwise.
Yeah.
And was your creativity fostered throughout your childhood? Did you come from a creative home?
Yeah, I do, actually. My father was an art teacher. And I think that did indeed foster my, sort of some parts of my development, just because there were always funny people at our house. There were always other art teachers. There were artists. There were freaks. There were creatives who would go in and out. And not that I really knew back then, you know, when you're a small child, you have a different perspective. But I think overall, you know, whenever there were holidays, I went with my parents to, you know, in summer, we sat in a cheap car and drove to the southern of Europe and went to galleries, to museums, which wasn't always the best at the time for me, because when you're a small boy, why would you be interested in art every day? Mm-hmm. But in hindsight, that certainly had a big effect on my development. Yes.
And even now, looking at the boxes of molecule perfumes, you know, there is a very important design element there. So, you know, with fragrance combined, there's, you know, your childhood led to this. So from a 13-year-old boy, tell me then how you started your career. Where did you go once you finished school? Or how did you create this incredible empire?
I've been in touch with Harman and Reimer. They're called Simrise these days. when I was 16, I just sat in the train and drove to the company where they were based. They were luckily only an hour up north from Kassel, my hometown. And I just showed up, said, hey, I know you're doing fragrances. Can I talk to someone? And they were like, do you have an appointment? And I was like, no, what's that? So they said, yeah, listen, you know, if you want to talk to someone, you need an appointment. You just can't come here and show up and talk to someone. So I went there half a year later after they'd given me an appointment and talked to a perfumer. And I basically just said, look, you know, I'd love to learn more about this. I have a huge collection at home. So would you talk to me? And they did. And they made tests with me and they went all very well. So ever since I was 16, I was in touch with them and they kept sending samples to my home of new fragrances, which were released, some of them only in France, which I would have never gotten hold of. And so it developed further to the point when they realized this guy really wants to do this. And, you know, I finished school. I did 13 years of school. I did my civil service, which was the alternative to the military. And after that, they said, come here. We put you like in an elective placement sort of scenario. And so I had to do another 1.5 years where I went through various parts of this company, which I had a brilliant chance to look into what every part of this company does. And then January 92, the education started.
Yeah, I think that's wonderful because it doesn't, I don't know that it happens that way anymore, that a company will nurture somebody or, you know, even a young guy like you would reach out and say, look, I'm going to keep knocking on the door. I think it's, you know, it's a testament to your passion.
Yeah, it's probably not anything like it these days. I know, or because I'm still in touch with this company, and I know for the past two educations, they've had schemes running like, you know, they would invite 100 people and down to 50, down to 20, down to 10, and then look a bit more intense into the choice of people they've had. And then they would pick 2, 3, or 4 of these after a long period. In our days, it was different. I mean, I was the only one who was really from the outside. The others were, you know, one was the son of the production manager sort of thing. So, you know, they gave him a chance to join. And the other guy was from Argentina. And the fourth one in our education was Frank Völkel, who works for Filmini these days. And he had visited a school near Paris called Izibga. It's a perfumery school in Versailles. And you were able to join even back then in the 80s. They had a program for that. So the four of us joined together for an education.
Okay. And I suppose the next big moment in your career then came with the discovery of IsoE Super and this very special molecule.
Yeah, sort of, but not really. I mean, yes, when I joined August 1990, they gave me an office with a great scale and all the ingredients or some of the major ingredients you need to know in perfumery. And they just said, there you go, you know, and opened the door. And I had my own office next to the chief perfumer, which was amazing. So I could always run in and out and sort of ask him and stuff. And one of the ingredients back then, so after a few days, I came across IC Super. And of course, even back then, I realized what magic was in there, just because by smelling that on its own, I discovered that that was the link to some fragrances I had really liked back then, because they had a big chunk of IC Super in their formula. And so it was a revelation like nothing else. You know, it's like, you know, you let's say you're a specialist in curry and you love curries and the different curries of the world. But then one day somebody shows you curcuma and you go, ah, now I understand. Yeah. So that's probably how it did happen. And but don't forget, you know, I started to join the education in order to become a perfumer. I was keen to make fragrances and not identify singular aroma molecules, which would be on shelf, which nobody had told you that, you know, by the way, you can use them on their own. No, the doctors and the paradigm around it was always, you need to use them in combination, son, my son, you know. So so can you please now learn? And so that's what I did. I mean, I participated in the first big briefing in 94 when I was only in the education for 2 years. And that was the first diesel fragrance. So we got a briefing for the diesel fragrance, which I luckily won at the time. And I remember in 94 that I said to this sales guy, who was Alessandro Gualtieri, by the way, who then later made Naso Matto and a couple of other brands. I said to him, listen, you know, the diesel guys, they're all ultimately cool. They all, you know, they were all Dutch back then. And they were really super hip. Diesel was probably the hottest brand back then in those days. And I said, why don't you just show them IsoE Super? Because it smells great. You know, maybe that's exactly what they want or what they need. And he said, I guess that's even a bit too far-fetched for diesel.
Okay.
So, you know, luckily he didn't show to them. I mean, almost guaranteed 100%. That would have worked for them as well as for any other brand in the world. And they probably would have had a much better reach out to the public. But it wasn't shown. And great. So I was able to keep it to myself.
Okay. So it was too out there for them, you know, to just go with it solely. So what happened when you first wore it on its own?
I didn't first wear it on my own. I gave it to a friend of mine because I wanted to watch. Uh-huh. So there was this classic scene when it was probably autumn 1990 when I went to my favorite bar in my hometown on Friday evening. And I went with my friend Michel and I said to him, hey, listen, so now here's this little bottle. Put a drop here, a drop there. I just want to see what happens. Let's go. So we went in there and it didn't take 10 minutes. And the bar was pretty empty, but there was this woman passing where we stood. She went to the toilet, came back and just stood still right in front of us and said, who smells so nice here?
Stop.
And that was like, and Michel was like, it's probably me, but you have to talk to him. You know, I don't know anything about this, so talk to him. So I started talking to him, to her, and it came clear very quickly that she liked Fahrenheit from Dior and Trésor by Lancôme. And I mean, you can't show me two more fragrances which are that far away from each other. Fahrenheit, fresh, spicy, woody, musky, and Trésor, fruity, floral, powdery, sweet. So they have nothing in common, but Icy Super. Fahrenheit has 25% of Icy Super. Trésor has around 20%. And that must have been the link, I thought back then, that this girl likes these two fragrances because they have nothing in common. So that triggered something where I thought, hang on. So I give this to my friend and within 10 minutes, somebody dares to just show up in front of us and says, who smells so great here? That was the start of everything.
I'm interested as I listen to you speak in how you recall fragrances, you know, so can you, because it's your business and because you have a passion, I'm thinking of the 13-year-old with like a box full of samples. Would you always be able to recall which one? Like, would you have you know, an ability to recollect the fragrance and connect it to the name? I mean, I can smell a fragrance and think it smells great and forget about it unless somebody, you know, tells me the name of it. But can you recall them that well?
Yeah, probably I could. I mean, if you'd show me some of the major fragrances from the 80s, yeah, of course I can say, yeah, you know, this Trésor and Fahrenheit and Kuwata and all the others which were there. Because back then there weren't that many fragrances. They were just starting. Companies just realized how easy it is to actually launch a perfume and cash in, you know, because production costs aren't that high. And yes, they all had a marketing budget and an advertising budget, but still, that was a way to earn a lot of money, I guess. So fragrances started to boom in the 80s via the 90s until today. And look how many companies have lots of fragrances in their portfolio. And it's like a jungle, you know, you can't really find any of, I mean, how can you smell all these fragrances to find out which one is the one you really like? Uh-huh. It's almost too much.
Yeah, the market is huge now. Do you think, we were talking about COVID and how life hasn't actually changed for you in the last year. You know, you're still doing what you're doing. Do you think we need it more or less now? But I personally feel it's, you know, I'm not getting dressed up, so I just want to do my makeup and spray some fragrance. It actually matters more to me now. Do you find that with your customers, or have you noticed any difference?
I think because of COVID, obviously the situation has changed that your normal rhythm, how you start the day, is just not the same anymore. Most people have had to do home office, you know, and we know what happened. They were still wearing, you know, the pajama they wore at night because nobody was able to see that. Some would just put on like some pair of jogging pants, and you wouldn't dress up the same way than if you would leave the house and, you know, go to the tube or however you get to work. And then you show up at work and you meet other people. That was just not happening. So I don't even want to know how people actually sort of have changed that. But one thing which has changed for sure is the sort of the home fragrance cocooning aspect. You need it and you wanted to make your home a nicer place, because if you were meant to now hang out at home, and if you weren't used to that, you had to get used to that, you know, but all of a sudden you're at your place where you just do private stuff. And that's not the same when you go to work. So I'm sure some people cope better with that than others. But I think to create a new atmosphere at home where you feel even more home, and where you then maybe put something on which made you, you know, you could focus more on work, or you would put out a fragrance which does this or that to you. And there are these aromas and fragrance oils which actually have an impact on your being, and it can stimulate your moods. And that's something I wouldn't know why anyone shouldn't or want to take any notice of that, to actually have a better environment than a worse one.
Mm-hmm. With Isoe Super, back to this, with Isoe Super, is there a pheromonic effect?
Yeah, there is.
It smells differently on other people.
That's something else that also happens, but that also really happens to any fragrance you put on, because we all have different metabolisms. We all live differently. All of these aspects have an influence on how we can wear a fragrance, because our body oozes out whatever we put in, comes out, that has an impact on your fragrance. Imagine if you'd be, you know, you're having a really hot, spicy curry the other night, and then the next morning you have your, you know, a meeting where you just basically stink out everything you just put in. Well, if you put a fragrance on top, that might cover some of those notes, but it will have an impact on how this fragrance will come across, because you also smell. And then same like, you know, do you do sports? What's your diet? Do you eat lots of meat? Do you eat veggies? Do you drink a lot? Do you not drink a lot? Do you drink alcohol? Do you smoke? Do you do sports? How much sports? All of these things have an impact on our skin and how we could wear a fragrance.
Okay. Has there ever been a eureka moment like it for you? You know, that realization that this was a common denominator in so many of those fragrances you enjoyed throughout your childhood. Has there ever been a discovery like that in your career since?
No, not really. And I need to go back to your first question, actually, because I haven't explained that.
Oh, yes.
The Isoe Super is special because in tests you can find out how our body reacts to anything we smell. And there hasn't been yet one other ingredient where we have found that Isoe Super actually stimulates one of our five remaining pheromone receptors. So that's a fact. And that is also, I think, the best explanation why people who would smell that on the street, yes, it has an olfactoric scent on its own. That Isoe Super has a smell. If you would categorize it, it probably would go into the woody, if not the cedar wood category, olfactorically, quality-wise. But then it has this extra stimulating pheromone touch, which is that while you're being stopped on the street because somebody smells that and just goes, you know, it just sits in them and it does something to them. And it goes like, what is that? I want more of that. And then they come after you. Mm-hmm. So that's probably why Isoe Super as an ingredient, and with our idea of doing putting this into the molecular one idea, has had such a big success. So no, unfortunately, I haven't come across another ingredient which does similar miraculous things to you.
Have you ever smelled anything that smelled better?
Yes, my daughter.
Oh.
Of course.
Nothing like the little girl, you know, the smell of a new baby. And
that is mesmerizing, and it puts you and your mind and what it does to you absolutely in a new dimension. Whoever hasn't experienced that, I would say, hasn't lived the same way than if you have experienced that. It's mind-boggling and truly spectacular. And no, Isoe Super is magic, but the real magic is to smell your own child and go, wow.
Like so many things that children do, if you could bottle it, it would be a wonderful thing.
Magic.
Tell me then, okay, so this molecule was special and is very important. What happened then with your design philosophy? Because two fragrances came from it initially.
Yeah, true. I mean, that was the whole idea in the beginning. That I thought, in the 80s, I thought, I have so many cool friends, and most of them don't wear a fragrance. Obviously, I was a fragrance aficionado already back then and was wearing sometimes this, sometimes that. But they said, nah, you know, they're too strong, they're too sweet, too fruity, too this, too that. Nah, I'd rather wear no fragrance than this. And I thought, wouldn't it be great if they would all have an olfactoric fingerprint, like an identity, which would come with them in the shape of a fragrance or anything, better than nothing. And so then when I stumbled over Icy Super in the early 90s, that was the idea. Then I thought, okay, so I give this to this friend of mine. We go to this bar. There's this woman showing up saying, "You smell so nice." But I just gave him one singular aroma chemical. But so this is already then enough, obviously, for somebody to stop on the street and go, "What is that?" So that was the idea when I thought, okay, why don't we give people just this? Because I've proven it. It's enough to make someone stop and to ask you what this is, and then give them a normal fragrance, which has an enormous amount of Icy Super, but where I would say, with what I've learned, clearly has qualified me to try and bring out the best fragrance using a maximum amount of Icy Super with some other aspects where I think they go best with Icy Super. And this is sort of like my ideal fragrance to create, which then was Eccentric 01.
Okay. And then since then, there have been, you know, many wonderful fragrances, but now recently we have three new additions, M Plus. So you mixed this wonderful molecule with three natural elements. Why did you want the three elements to be natural?
I think they had to be natural just because nature itself, every essential oil, every absolu we have and we use in perfumery is already a fragrance in itself. You know, just take bergamot, for example. Everyone knows the smell of that. Bergamot is not just like one thing. Bergamot consists of dozens of molecules, which nature obviously over time provided to end up where this has ended up. It's bergamot oil. The same something is rose oil or jasmine absolu or mandarin oil. It's a complex structure. If I were only to add one other chemical to Icy Super, that would be a bit lousy, I would feel. That would be just not enough. So to reach a complexity of just having Icy Super with something else, I feel it had to be a natural. And we ended up with mandarin, patchouli, and iris for specific reasons. If you want me, I'll explain them to you.
Please, because I always think it's a very difficult job. I think it's a very hard thing to explain the smell of something. And unfortunately, this is a podcast, so we don't have smell-o-vision or anything to help us. So can you describe mandarin? So M plus mandarin for me.
Absolutely. M plus mandarin is... actually, I would like to start with iris, yeah. If I may. Yeah.
It's a special story to iris too, right? That wasn't
exactly.
Meant for us.
Yeah, exactly. Uh-huh. Okay. So this is where the whole idea actually generated from. Whenever I was working on fragrances and they had strong iris note in them, my partner Sophie would, you know, she would always smell them and go like, "What have you done?" And whenever there was iris in them, she was like, "Oh God, I love that." And so at some point, it was clear to me that iris meant something to her. So I showed her the ingredient and she absolutely adored it. So she said, "Why don't you, you know, just make me my own personal fragrance here, which is an iris fragrance." And I said, "Yeah, of course, I can try." So so I got into the process of thinking, okay, she loves iris. Let's not put anything else really in there than the sheer iris note. Because if I start overlaying again iris with jasmine and other floral notes and rose and, you know, woods and fresh and fruity and sweet, then, you know, you don't really get the iris note. So I thought, let's stay minimal here as well. So I took Icy Super, a big chunk. I took hedione, which is another miraculous ingredient, which is very transparent and floral and is a booster for sympathy. That has been found out as well. So I took only these two and worked on an iris accord around these two carrier ingredients. So I took the best iris absolu quality there is on this planet and added as much as I needed to actually have a strong iris note in there by nature in this particular case, which is very costly. Then I added another few iris ingredients to wrap this iris note, plus the Hedione, plus the Isis Super, and that was it. So this is when Sophie started wearing the fragrance, and she was, I mean, it was crazy. She said everyone she encountered at work, on the street, people stopped her, in the house when she would leave the house, people would comment on it. And that was just something which I had only so far experienced with Molecular One itself. Okay. So that's when this started. And I mean, even when I would come home and she had just left the door or whatever, I would smell it on the stairs in the flat and I would go like, this smells fantastic. So that's unfortunately when we had to decide that we couldn't keep it exclusively any longer for Sophie, but that we had to do something with it.
She was very generous. Thank her from us, because she was very generous to share. But isn't that what we all want, though? That it's like when I give my daughter to my mom, she comes back smelling of her fragrance. And I think the emotive connection there is really important. And I think, you know, everyone kind of wants to leave a little scent behind. Well, hopefully a pleasurable one. Can I talk about one thing that you mentioned there, the molecule or the element that boosts sympathy? Explain that. How could that happen?
Yeah, that's probably the other magic ingredient we have basically found out about with tests, which is they've sort of invited foreigners and put them across each other on a table. So yeah, one person sits there, one sits here. In the middle was the table and a cloth on the table. And some of these experiments, they sprayed the cloth with Hedione and had these two people meet each other. And there was a ridiculously significant outcome of that, which was that whenever the cloth was sprayed with Hedione and these two people would meet, there was an enormous amount of sympathy. Wow. As where when it wasn't there, there was just like sort of a normal meeting and people were like sort of so. So, you know, I mean, knowing this, I would be stupid not to use these ingredients, because if we want something out of everything we do culturally to us, not just cosmetics or fragrance or, you know, yes, we do wash each other. We wash with products, yeah, but also, you know, wearing clothes, saying what we say. Anything cultural, we want to be, you know, we want a reward. Ideally, we want to be identified that we are more sympathetic than others. That's why we dress and have a wash and wear fragrance. Yeah, it is incredible. And so far, unfortunately, it's only these two ingredients which have qualified for, yes, they have an olfactoric smell, but they do also something else, which is amazing.
That's incredible. So if you wear M plus Iris, people would be nicer and kinder to you. You have to find the molecule that makes people more generous to you, or I don't know, turned on by you or whatever.
I think the most important would be to find the molecule which makes people more intelligent. How would that help?
Wow. Or certainly a peerist. That would be a sellout.
So basically the Molecule plus Iris was the first one where I worked around this frame of, yes, again, lots of Icy Super, like around 70%, and a big chunk of Hedione, and then this sits next to this Iris. And this was kind of like a finished fragrance, even though the formula is very short. There's not even 10 ingredients in the formula, but it has the right appeal, I hope, for all the people who really, really like Iris notes. And then what is left is also this big, radiant, woody, beautiful rest, which consists of Icy Super. So you don't lose the attraction you were used to wearing Icy Super with Molecular One.
Incredible. So what happens when you wear, or rather, what do you smell like when you wear M plus Mandarin?
M plus Mandarin came about because Iris is really a hard note within fragrance. So it doesn't really jump out of the bottle, but it doesn't really super long last. So it's like it plays in the heart. And Mandarin is clearly a top note and probably one of the nicest ones. If you think about just citrus fruits, you know, there's lemon, bergamot, grapefruit, lime, mandarin, and orange. So we have six citrus notes we work with in perfumery. And because we had also covered some of those notes in some of the eccentric fragrances we've done already, but we haven't really had a big boost of mandarin in any of those. And mandarin, I thought, is also good because it's so inviting. I mean, whenever, you know, you peel a mandarin, which we've all done, we have it on the fingers. It smells lovely. It's acidic. It's fruity. It's fresh. It's sort of like, wow, you know, a mandarin is such a complex smell that I thought, let's try this. And so I worked on the mandarin plus idea. And this is also the longest formula, if you look at all three, because I needed some other ingredients to boost the specific effect you have when you peel a mandarin, which is very original and very amazing. But with the shea mandarin oil I've also been using in the Mandarin Plus, which is around 12% of this beautiful mandarin oil, I needed some other aspects to make this mandarin experience complete. So this is why I have added other traces of other ingredients, chemicals as well as naturals, to the mandarin idea. If you smell it on its own, you would never think that there's anything else in there but mandarin. But there is, to make the mandarin aspect more complex. Mm-hmm. And the patchouli, if I may go on to the last one. Patchouli I chose because we have no other fragrance within the eccentrics which has a big patchouli note. So I thought, my God, patchouli is such a classic in perfumery, and we've all known it from the 70s and 80s when the hippies, you know, were just wearing patchouli oil, and that was it. So patchouli together with Icy Super is a bomb, but it's a beautiful, sophisticated, cocooning memory as well, because we all will have had either our parents or relatives or friends from back then when we were still children who were wearing patchouli fragrances. And that is just, it's just such a memory to the past that when you would smell that, you would probably, it would take you back automatically to moments when you've had the moment of smelling something which has a strong patchouli note. So it's kind of like a beautiful reminder of moments of the past within a new product where you have a sophisticated patchouli note because of the Hedione and the Icy Super again in it, which will leave you, it will leave you all the beauty of Molecular One, but here it has patchouli, and that also is a dry down. It's a base note, which will last also very long. So you have iris as a heart, mandarin as a top note, and patchouli as a dry down. So whoever wanted a little more to Molecular One is now welcome to smell these three and maybe like one of them. If they want more complex, they could then always have the eccentric fragrances as we have them.
It's fascinating, and it's so good to talk to you and hear about, you know, your passion is so evident. Well, and I think when you talk about the, you know, the memory experience and the emotive experience, like what was the, when you were a child, before you started gathering those samples, was there a smell that will always bring you back there when you smell it now?
Oh, I think any scent I would have come across for the first time, or any other person, any human being, whoever smells something for the first time will have a memory of that automatically. And hopefully that moment was a good moment, because if you've had a bad moment, or if the mood was bad, or if somebody would have not been too nice to you while you smelled something or ate something for the first time, then this is automatically captured. You have to think that, you know, the situation, the circumstances you're in will be identified and covered like in a little bubble with that moment of you smelling or tasting something for the first time, which is why some people still today, you know, I don't know, let's take pickled cucumbers. You know, maybe they were forced the first time, you know, as a child having to eat that, and they were like, ah, this is disgusting. And, you know, and so for the rest of their lives, they think, oh, this is disgusting.
Yeah.
And you have to maybe re-go there. You have to revisit something and hope that now you find something interesting in them. But if the first moment you discover something and you smell or taste something is connected with something bad, that's a bad moment, because it could have been better, but it wasn't.
Yes, and unless you're willing to go there again, it's gone.
Pretty much. So my first memories really back then were probably in the garden of my grandparents, who had chicken running around and who had rabbits in a cage, and they had all the flowers, they had all the trees which had fruits. There were raspberries and blackberries and blueberries and whatever, and they had zucchini and tomatoes and potatoes, and everything which comes out of a garden actually has a smell. So those were probably the first memories I had. And also, don't forget, when you're a child, there is no, oh, that's disgusting, an instant. No, your paradigm of discovering things is empty. So you take earth and put it in your nose, if not in your mouth. You grab grass, you scratch the bark of a tree, you're new to the world and you want to discover everything. And only when we later get told by mostly parents or teachers or whoever that, oh, this is a bad smell and you shouldn't go there, only then we change rationally. But initially, we're all very open.
Yes. I think, you know, it's funny, the year we've just had and, you know, the tough times that every industry has had, it's been a testy one for our nose, in that if you lost your scent for 9 months, like, were you terrified of, you know, contracting COVID and perhaps like being unable to work the way you do?
Of course. Yeah. I mean, as we all know, the moment whenever we've had a strong cold or a flu in the past, we all know the feeling, what it's like when you lose your sense of smell. So regardless of COVID, but it was different because when you have a flu and, you know, you're full of snot and then all the snot sits on your smelling system and it makes sense. We can understand why we then can't smell. That's sort of logic. And we know it'll go. And then we've experienced that our sense of smell will come back. With COVID, because it's a nerval action which happens there, you know, there mustn't even be snot, but it's cut down by nature, if you like, by this virus, which decides, well, I'll cut this person's capacity of smell, we'll just cut it down. That's nerve-wracking because we haven't got the experience yet of what's the long-term effects or even the mid-term effects of COVID. And my partner Sophie had COVID. God knows why I didn't catch it, because we'd been sleeping in one bed for many nights until it came out that she had COVID. I mean, we then obviously split, and I was with little Anna for 12 days elsewhere. So I didn't catch it till now, and I really don't want it. And I'm being super careful. Whenever I touch something which isn't in my flat, I will wash my hands or I will put some disinfectant on it. I wear a mask as soon as I leave my place out of the door. I have a mask in my face until I reach the street, and then I take it off. I am paranoid about it, and I'm happy that I'm paranoid about it because I don't want it.
You have to stay that way, absolutely.
Yeah.
Okay, so what does the next year and the future hold for Eccentrix Molecules?
Well, we have already lined up almost like the next set of M+, because ever since, you know, that sensation really grabbed me with Molecule Plus Iris, I was obviously trying to find out, hey, I mean, there's a few more hundred other natural products. What else would be good as a single aspect to Molecular One? What could be big enough or also perfumistic enough so that I can really sort of like convince myself that with Molecular One is actually again enough for a bigger sensation than just molecule on its own. So we have already clearly identified two others, which are, I find them spectacular as well, I have to say. I can't wait for the launch, but that obviously won't happen till next year, I'm afraid. But so this is something, yeah, we feel very strongly about the idea of M+. So now the first three, I presume next spring, maybe already the next three. That's exciting. On the eccentric molecule side, we certainly haven't decided for another molecule, also because we just last year in March, you know, when we had all set it up at Harvey Nichols in London with huge window fronts and It was all done for the big party then mid or end of March. And then 3 days before, it was all called off. And that completely fell out into the water. So, yes, we have launched that. It was a bit of a silent launch at the end, Molecule and Eccentric 05. But we've had great feedback, especially for Eccentric 05. So, you know, we'll play it by ear. I mean, I think for the time being, we have enough new stuff to get out. And only ever when we really feel we've got something very special here, we would launch it. And not only because the market is asking for it.
Yeah, well, the three fragrances that you have just given us are a triumph. Absolutely beautiful.
Cool.
Thank you so much for taking some time to join me today.
My pleasure. Thanks very much, guys.
Thank you for listening to the Brand Thomas podcast. If you like what you've heard, be sure to subscribe and share and follow us on Official Brand Thomas on Instagram for more updates.